Good in Erev Shabbos. We're learning B'Metzia Daf Samach Vav. Learning Shabbos Hazaf B'Metzia Samach Vav. We left off this morning Samach Hei Omed Beis. We left off at the two dots. There's two sets of two dots. We're at the first set of two dots. Mashken Lai on Samach Hei Omed Beis. Around 50 lines up the bottom of the page. Mashken Lai. We're in the middle of discussing that we introduced right at the end of this year this idea of, we didn't introduce it, we chazard, that we read the sheet of Sarecha B'Ribis, that if it's Ribis only on one side, if the options play out that only one side is ribbis, then we say tzarech ribbis mutter. That's with the shita. We quoted that right at the end of the year. We're going to quote a few braises now that seem to discuss that tzarech ribbis is a problem, not like a bida. Before, and then the gemara is going to go from there, segue into an idea of a person making a commitment to make someone feel better, but it's just a verbal declaration. Whether or not he means it or not, he's just trying to make him feel good, but he's not committed. And from there, really into asmachta kai, that'll be the latter part of the daf. But before we get there, just two items, we'll call it, of housekeeping. First of all, we'll go backwards. First of all, at the end, right at the end of the shiur, Rabbi D'Aryeh brought up a shayla, and Hirsch was weighing in on the shayla as well, after the shiur, that we had discussed that if one is renting out his house for the year, and he offers that if someone pays rent, it's one X a month, it's 12 slum for the year, one sell a month, but if he pays up front for the whole year, he only has to pay 10. And we said, that's okay. The mission, that's okay. But if it was a sale, if he offers to cheaper for someone that pays the money up front, he's delivering the goods now. If the guy pays later, he has to pay 12, but he pays right now, he pays 10. That's a problem because he's giving him a discount for paying earlier. That's agar nutter. That's money. That's a value. He's paying him for having the money earlier, and that's considered a ribbis issue. That was the mission we had on earlier on Tzav Samachei, Amar Aleph. And after the shiur, the shaila came up, what if there's an in-between? What if by a sale, it's understood that the normal payment terms are 30 or 60 days? Normal payment terms are 30 or 60 days. And he says, if you pay me right away up front, I give you a 2% discount for paying me up front. The very common practice is that mutter or not. And the logic that Rabbi D'Aryeh was suggesting, Hershey, I'm not sure if you agree so much, but the logic that Rabbi D'Aryeh was suggesting was that it shouldn't be a problem of ribbis because it's similar to the case of the renting, where he's saying that since the derech is for people to normally pay after 30 or 60 days, I'm giving you a discount for paying earlier. It's similar to the rental case. That was the shayla. The real question is it a discount? Is the real price the other price, and I'm just giving a discount? Or is it kind of a payment for giving me money early? That's really what it boils down to. And therefore, it's more like the classic case of sale, which we said was usser. So I mentioned the questions, of course, to Rabbi Kander Shlita, who, amongst his many svarim, he has at least a half a dozen svarim, by the way, but among the first sefer he put out was Rabbi Kander. This is a little history of our, we quote him all the time, Mecharusa. The first sefer he put out, he was working in the real estate industry in the early 90s for about a handful of years. Then he went back to Kill full time. But in the 5 years or so that he was working, he came across a very, very vast amount of ribbis shilas, ribbis scenarios, and he felt like there was not really enough on the subject written. Since then, there's been other svarim that put out, so he himself put out a sefer in the early 2000s, about 20, 25 years ago almost. He put out a sefer as a skama from Rabbi Shlema, from Rabbi Kweisworth, from Shmuel Kamenetsky. I'm holding the sefer in my hand right now. When I mentioned the shalom to him, he said to me, and I have the sefer for years already, he said to me, why don't you look up in the Kuntres Yisrael on page 92, look it up, and Leon's question was exactly, it discussed black and white. I'll quote for you inside. It's in English. It's an excellent sefer, by the way. Shameless plug, but it's an excellent sefer. If anyone wants, Rabbi Kander has a dozen of them still. That's the last dozen he has in print, until he does another reprinting. If anyone wants a sefer, I'm happy to bring it to the shiur, and anyone could purchase it. But he writes over here, I'm going to read in English. It's common for suppliers to give 30, 60-day grace period for a payment and to offer a discount to those who pay at the time of purchase. We've learned earlier in the fifth parak over there in a sefer that a dual price system is ribbis. However, since it's common practice for suppliers not to request payment until 30, 60 days after the purchase, in this particular case, some authorities permit dual prices. And he writes in parentheses, one might indeed consider the lower price a true discount. The lower price is a true discount because the real price is the price he's charging for 30 or 60 days. And the lower price is just a discount to that price. However, since there are other places who disagree with this opinion, it's still preferable to display, have a proper heter iska, and this applies to retailers, wholesalers, manufacturers. They all should have heter iska to avoid the issue because it is a machlekes. So there's definitely shitas that Rabbi D'Aryeh mechaven to who say that it's permissible. The shitas that he brings in the back in the notes are, he quotes from Shalos Teshuvos Imre Yesher. He quotes from others as well, but then he brings it's a machlekes Chachmas Adam, Machna Frayim. He brings other pesukim that are more, those that seem to be more makel, other pesukim that are more machmer, and therefore he says one should lechliyav be machmer. But then he gives a couple of options to avoid the issue. Option one: if the merchant doesn't offer this discount to all buyers, if it's on all buyers, then it could be problematic. But if he doesn't offer it to all buyers, then it shows that's really a discount. If I choose to give you a discount, I'm allowed to do that. So it becomes part of the sale. It's a discount on a sale. That's allowed, as long as I don't do it for everyone. If I do it for everyone, that means I'm really paying them. I'm paying by giving them less, giving them a better fee for paying me earlier. I'm paying for the time of money, time value of money, and that'd be problematic. But if I don't offer it to all customers, that's one way to make a month. Another way is that if the customer already has the goods, he agreed upon the price, there's 30, 60-day terms, and then at the time we send the invoice, the vendor says, if you pay me in the next week, I'll give you a discount. So the deal was already done with a fixed price, and now he's offering a discount. I would have thought that's actually a problem, but he's saying it's better because since there was no obligation to offer this discount, so the seller is just offering it on his own. It's not an obligation. Therefore, the status of a discount not considered an agreement of a ribbis sort of agreement. That's another way to make a mutter. Or
I think it's not. That's not ketzutza. I think that's why.
Yeah, but that's not. That would be enough because that only take away deraisa. We need to get rid of drabanas also. So obviously, it's more than that. But yes, it's a good point. Option
that makes it better.
Yeah, that definitely makes it better. But I think, somehow it's getting rid of the whole ribbis issue. Even on a rabbinic level. Option three is it's a 2% discount on the next purchase. So if you sold this fellow a fur coat and he pays you at the end of 30 days or at the end of 60 days, then he pays full price. If he pays you early, you're not giving him a discount on this coat, but you're giving him, it's like a loyalty fee. You're saying on the next product you buy, you get a 2% discount. That would be another way to make a mutter. Again, it's more helpful. Fur coat, which is your profession, is probably not an example because people don't buy them that often. But it's more practical for a repeat customer. And option number four is you give them like a rebate. He can claim a rebate. So he pays you in full, and then he can kind of mail in or claim a rebate, and then you rebate it back to him. That's fine too. All those options to circumvent the issue. But if you want to do it straight up, again, there are places that I'd say it's mutter because since the standard is 30, 60-day payment, that becomes the real value, and it's just a regular discount, and therefore it wouldn't be an issue. But again, this is the Shaila that we discussed, Ayin Sham, in page 92, 93, in the Sefer, A Matter of Ribbis. And again, I'm very happy to bring it to anyone who wants to purchase it. It's not very expensive. It's about 15, 20 bucks. The whole Sefer, anyone wants it. There's about a dozen left in print right now. Lizer, you just threw over here a grenade. You dropped a grenade. Rav Meish is a famous tshuva. Rav Meish holds corporations do not have dinei ribbis because it's not personal achrayus. Doesn't have dinei ribbis. It's a famous tshuva, Rav Meish. I could just say Rabbi Kanner is not seimech on the Rav Meish. Many paiskim. It's Rav Meish. Many paiskim are yes seimech. You're quoting from Rav Bluth who is seimech. 100% there's what to be seimech on. But I want to say, so before maybe you buy the safer, you should be aware, Rabbi Kanner is b'shas atchak as a sniff. He certainly would use it if it was Moshe Feinstein. But that leniency, he held that ultimately corporations do still run back to a person. There are levels of protection. Absolutely, that's part of the corporation. But we find that the corporate veil could be pierced. Again, depends on the scenario. He held that the ribbis would not be circumvented by having a corporation. Ben Achami, Ramesh Shuva, would definitely take care of these issues if it's certainly corporation to corporation. In the case we gave, it was probably a corporation, but probably also primarily to private people. So, okay, you have to know. Fine. Let's go further. Just one other point on this morning's shir, one other side point, but it's very important. We referenced that Rabbi Chama had a benefit, top of the page, Rabbi Chama gave these people that he provided them with stuff to go sell elsewhere to get a better price. And then he lent them that money that they got for the sale to buy other wares to bring back to town, and they can make a profit on those wares. And the question was, Rabbi Chama is benefiting that they're taking his stuff and selling it elsewhere. He is taking some of the risk that if it gets destroyed till it gets sold, it's his risk. But he also, part of the reason why we're saying that it's not a problem with ribbis is also because they're benefiting using his name, because when you use Talmud Chacham's name, you get first dibs, they buy his product first, they want to, you know, give the Chama honor. And the Chakazakar brings really discussion. Rambam says a person should never take any benefits for being involved in Torah, teaching Torah, learning Torah, being a Talmid Chacham. A person should not take any benefits from using the Torah as his kardom, you know, as his tool to make money. It's a terrible idea. That's the Shitas Rambam. Chalkazaka brings the discussion, and he brings this Gemara as a clear raya. It's interesting, because one of the rayas Rambam brings, I don't know if Rambam brings the specific raya, but as an example, we had the Gemara earlier today as well. Rav Papa was used to brew beer, and we said he had money. He wasn't in a rush to get his money. He was very happy to sell beer in Tishrei and wait to get paid in Nisa to get the market prices of Nisa. The Gemara put a problem with that, but the point that Rav Papa was a man of means based on his business. But the point is, you see, Rav Papa had a business. Rav Papa was Rav Papa. Presumably, the people would support someone as eilig and as learned as Rav Papa, yet he didn't rely on that. He had his own business. That's one of the rights to the idea of the Rambam. However, Chalkazakha says, our Gemara clearly is bringing the Rav Chama, and the Gemara is also speaking about this concept of taking, buying, and selling the products of a Talmud Chacham first. So, in the same vein that they're doing business, we also see that you treat them differently in business. So, Vayis says, it's not fully a stira for a Talmud Chacham to benefit from his status, even when it comes to business. Not like Rambam, and the consensus seems to be in the later Achronim. I shouldn't say consensus, but the Achronim bring that even if in the Rambam's time we would say one should stay away from it. But over here, if Talmud Chacham wouldn't be attributed any benefits of being a Rav, for being a Melamed, for being involved in learning, then it'd be very difficult, even more difficult, to find people to sit and learn. And therefore, we can certainly be samech. We have a Gemara, and we can certainly be samech on this Gemara. Okay, says the Gemara further, two dots. About 50 lines up the bottom of the page. I know it was a long Hakdama, but it was an important topic, Alach L'maisa, related to Ribbis that we were discussing. So, we just left off at Sad Ribbis, Sad Echel Ribbis, Ribbis as Mutter. Says the Gemara Abraisa. Mashkin Lebayis. If a person gave a house as a pledge, so a borrower, he pledged a house to a lender as security. Mashkin Lesada, or a field. V'amalin, he says to the lender, the lender says to the borrower, I should say, the Cheshtir to the Meichram, Lesim Kamel Eli. The lender says to the borrower, if you're planning to sell it, sell it to me. Bidama malalu. If he says sell to me at this price, and the lender is offering a lower price, usser. That's usser. Such an arrangement is usser because the lender is being entitled to lower price in exchange for the fact that he gave a loan, problematic. Bishavim, if he says, let me have right of first refusal, but I'll pay you value. Whatever market price is, I'll pay you that. Then mutter, then it's fine. He's not really getting any benefit from the fact that he's the lender. I mean, right of first refusal maybe, but it's not really, he's not paying less. He's not getting any money for it, and therefore it's permissible. Says the Gemara, Tanit B'dam Alalu Usser. Who the Tanit says that B'dam Alalu, if you give a fixed price, it's going to be Usser. Amar Funa Bein Rabbi Shua, Kalei Kerb Yehuda, it's not like Kerb Yehuda, D Kerb Yehuda, Amet Tzarech Berbis Mutter. Remember, if you decide to sell to me at this price. If you don't decide to sell, they're not selling at all. So it's only Tzarech Berbis, and we're still saying it's a problem. So L'chor, this price says, not Kerb Yehuda, Tzarech Berbis is Mutter. Machal Ebayis. Now we go weiter in this brisa. If someone sold a house and machal Sada, or he sold a field v'amalai, and the seller says to the buyer, the chashili mais achzirim li. When I get money back, sell back. You have to sell back to me. So the seller says to the buyer, basically, I'm only selling because I'm desperate. When I get money to buy back of you, sell back to me. Dalach is usher. It's usher. Why? Let's just pick the case of the field. The buyer is essentially, if he has to sell back to the seller, that means the money he had in the interim is a loan. The money that the seller received from the buyer is like a loan because the second the seller gets money to pay back, he pays back. So effectively, it's a loan. And in addition to the loan, the buyer had usage of the house or usage of the field in the interim. That's ribbis. If it's a deal that has to happen, usher. But if the offer was that seller said, when you have money, Mr. Buyer, I'll sell it back to you. If the seller offered it to the buyer, that's not a problem. That's mutter. So if the buyer demands it, it's usher. If the seller offers the buyer, then it's mutter. Says the Gemara again. But the Gemara is going to ask what the difference is. Before we get there, the Gemara just says, at the end of the day, it's only relevant if the seller, ends up having enough money to buy it back. That's Tzarecha Beribis. Mantana, who's the author of Tzarecha Beribis? It's usher. Amar Funa Beit Yehoshua. The Lake Rebuda. Again, the Bryce says, not Rebuda. The Rebuda, because according to Rebuda, it's Amar Tzarecha Beribis Mutter. Yehoshua Tzarecha Beribis Mutter. So this would be against Shitas Rebuda. Okay, ask the Gemara now on this price. What's the difference if it came from the seller or came from the buyer? Who cares? At the end of the day, the field has to be sold back to the seller. The agreement was to sell the field back to the seller if he comes up with the money, and the buyer will have had usage of it in between. So essentially, it's like a loan with usage in between. So that's ribbis. Amarava, Reisha, we're going to read the parentheses. Reisha, Dlamalei Medaite, Seif, Dlamalei Medaite. In the Reisha, we didn't say that it's up to my agreement. In the Seifa, he's saying it's up to Medaite, meaning the seller wasn't committing fully. In the Reisha, the buyer, I should say, wasn't committing fully. In the Reisha, the seller told the buyer, when I have the money to pay back, I'm selling it to you, but when I have the money to buy back of you, you must sell back to me. It's condition of the sale. So there's no choice. That makes it like a loan and like ribbis problematic. Whereas in the sefer, the seller was offering it to the buyer. He was saying, if I so choose, I'll sell it back to you. Don't worry about it. If I so choose, therefore, it's not a problem of ribbis because he has the choice whether to sell it back to the seller or not. Who gavra? There's a fellow who sold something to his friend. He sold a piece of land to his friend, shleibach rayis, with erach rayis. The seller saw that the buyer was upset, meaning he made a massive mistake. Because typically we say, achrayis is toy sefer. Achrayis means that if the field gets repossessed, the buyer can go to the seller and demand back a replacement for the field that got repossessed. He can go back to the seller and demand a replacement. Or if the seller doesn't have himself, he can go back to the seller's lekuchim and demand getting back the field from them. And in this case, the guy didn't have achrayis, which means really, since we say achrayis is toy sefer, it's going to be relevant for the for when we speak outside in a minute from now, they must have agreed specifically to take it out. That's what happened. They agreed specifically take out. There's no achrayis. This sale when the buyer wrote up the contract, he wrote up a contract. I'm buying this without achrayis. The seller agreed, signed it, did the deal, and then afterwards he had a little bit of seller's remorse that he had no protection. So the buyer saw that the seller was so upset. Amalei said to him, "Am I at sifsus? Why are you so upset?" He told him, "Don't worry about it. I'm sorry, the seller saw that the buyer was upset." Right. So he said to him, "Why are you so upset? Don't worry, if someone comes and takes it from you, if my creditor comes and takes it, don't worry, I'll pay you back with shmaka properties, with shvach, with peris, I'll pay you back whatever, the shvach and peris that you lose, that you did, whatever you better in this field, I'll make sure to pay it back from other great properties that I have." Amar Meimer, so what's the halacha of Amar Meimer says? It means garnished. It's just words. Petume Mili Baalmahu. All it is an appeasement. He just wanted to make the guy feel good. The seller wanted to make the buyer feel good, but the deal is the deal. And the seller is not obligated to keep his verbal commitment. He doesn't mean it seriously. And therefore, let's say the field gets repossessed from the buyer. The seller doesn't have to make it up because it was sold. Shleibach Rayas. Amar Vashad Meimer. Time of my. Kivin Lekech by Lesnuye. Hachamech Kamasni. Amar Petume Mili Baalmahu. So Ravashi explains the pshat is because the lekech is the one who should have made a tnai before he bought it, that if it gets taken away, then I need you to give it back to me. This is achrayus. And since the meicher made the tnai on his own to make the buyer feel better, we say he doesn't really mean it, and therefore he's not obligated. Ask the Gemara. El Masisa, what about the price we just quoted? El Masisa Tani Shilach Mayas Achsulach. We said before that if the buyer went and he saw the seller, after he bought it for the seller, he said, "When you have money to buy back for me, I'll sell it to you, don't worry about it." And what do we say? Mutter, we said it's not a problem of ribbis. To meichu de bay las nuye, because in that case, l'chayra, it would be on the seller to make the tanai, to say that if I have money, I'm buying it back from you, you have to sell it back to me. It wasn't the meicher made the tanai. It was lekeicha made the tanai. For Amrina, Meishner, Meishner, said, "We asked, so why is the mutter when the meicher makes the tanai? It's no good. When lekeicha makes the tanai, we said it's okay. It's not a problem of ribbis. From a rava, sefer damle midaite. Because in the sefer we're talking about where the buyer said that I'm doing it if I want to. I'll sell it back to you if I choose to sell it back to you. What do you see very clearly? We don't say that stamazay when the buyer offers to sell it back to the seller, he's doing it just lefatumi milabalma, just to make him feel better. It's a real tanai. Only because the case was where he said medaite, where he said, "I'm only doing it if I choose to. Don't worry about it. Don't stress over it. If I choose to and you have the money, I'll sell back to you. But if I choose to." Only because he's stuck in those words. If he wouldn't stick in those words, we wouldn't say patumi milu. We'd say a commitment's a real commitment. Says the Gemara, "Time medam le medaite." Only because he said medaite. "Hala medam medaite." If he didn't say medaite, we'd say larmina patumi milabalma. We wouldn't say it's just a words of comfort. So l'chayr, we see we don't just say this idea of petumi mili, that stam, the guy means, just to comfort him. L'chayr, the guy makes a commitment. We assume he means it seriously. Gemara says simple. Amalei nasa kamanda amalei midaiti etmer. We didn't mean that the seller spoke out. If, again, I'm confusing the case. Not in this case, it's the buyer. In this case, the seller sold the field, and the buyer who bought it saw the seller was upset and said, "Don't be upset. If you choose, if you have the money, you want to buy it back, I'll sell it to you." So he stuck in that he said the word medaite if I choose to. Now we're saying he didn't stick in those words. We understand it to mean, it's pashut, it's understood to mean, that the buyer who had no obligation to offer anything, if he's offering something, he means, if I so choose, it's pashut. And that's mamish, this idea of mili. It's when a person wants to make someone else feel good, and he offers to undo the sale or to protect the sale, unless he makes a ironclad agreement that he means it seriously, we don't assume he means it seriously. We assume that he doesn't mean it seriously, and therefore he's not obligated. The first him jump all over this and ask. So Erech Shai asks, what happened to the idea of Dvarim Shebelev? L'chayri, he said, he made a stipulation. I'm going to sell it back to you if you have the money. Or in this case, the guy says, don't worry, no Achrayas Nashtar, but I'm agreed to Achrayas. In our case, a more recent case, maybe there was no Kenyan over there on the Achrayas, and the deal was already done, clearly without Achrayas, so maybe it's only a verbal commitment, it's not enough. But in the earlier case, L'chayri was at the Shas, the Kenyan. It was the time of the Kenyan, he said, I'll sell it back to you. So the fact that it's Dvarim Shebelev, that it's the fact that he meant to say medaite only if I really am in the mood, then he didn't say that. So why is that a problem with Dvarim Shebelev? That is the question. So the Erech Shai suggests that that since Achrayis is Toya Sefer, let's go back to our case. Since Achrayis is Toya Sefer, so it must be over here that he specifically wrote a shtar without Achrayis. If you had a shtar written up without Achrayis, it's so pashut, and this is really the main idea, when it's so pashut that the guy doesn't mean it, that it's not called Dvarim Shebelev. If the fellow in our most recent case, the seller sold it without Achrayas, which means he had it written in the shtar on purpose that there's no Achrayas, and then the buyer got all upset and nervous. So he said, don't worry, if something happens, it gets repossessed, I'll replace it for you. He's clearly just trying to make it feel better, because if he went through the efforts of trying to sell a shtar by Achrayas, he obviously means it to be that way, and he's not retracting on that, and therefore it's not considered even Dvarim Shebelev. It's pashut, he doesn't really mean it, he's just trying to make the guy feel good. So essentially what comes out is, when someone says something which is clearly they're just to appease, that's not even called Dvarim Shebelev, he doesn't really mean it. If it's not clear, then we run into Dvarim Shebelev issues. The Beis Yosef brings B'Shem Tamidi Rashba, that if he formulates it B'Lashon Tanai, if let's say the guy says to the buyer, you bought it, you're so nervous about Achrayas, don't worry, I'm selling it to you on condition that if it gets taken away, I will come and replace it, even though it's not Achrayas. If you make a Lashon Tanai, Beis Yosef brings it to me, Rashba, then we say that Lashon sounds pretty serious, pretty, you know, guaranteed. And then he wouldn't be able to say that I didn't really mean it. It's to be mealy. It's a real commitment, and he'd be obligated to keep that commitment. Rama, quote Targus Mordechai, no, even with Lashon Tanai, once the deal was done without Achrayas is Toya Sefer, and you specifically took it out. You purposely said, I shouldn't say take it out. That's that Toya Sefer would make it, put it back in. You said, Shalei Bachrayis. You must have written Shalei Bachrayis in the Shtar. If you did all that, then even at Tanai afterwards, we're not changing anything. We would still say, Petume Mili. It is definitely a very vague concept. When do we say the guy's just trying to appease the person, make him feel better? And when do we say that it means that he means it seriously? Is definitely lends itself to I guess, whatever the norm of the day is and what the Chachamim hold in that time period. Let's see the next Gemara, which is going to be another similar case, and we'll see more Rashi and Tosfos about this. Says the Gemara, Hahu Shchibira. There was a fellow on his deathbed who wanted to protect his wife from falling to Yibam, to his brother. The Kasla Kitla B'Zayu, he wrote to get to his wife, again to protect her from issues of Yibam. In Gid Vesnach. And then he groaned that he kvetched, that he gave her the get, because he's still alive, he's just sick, and now he's adding insult to injury, he's losing his wife. So Amr, she said to Amr, Amaykamazachas, why are you groaning? Ikaimis didachana. Don't worry, if you stay alive, I'm yours. If you stay alive, I'm yours. Meaning, the get will only be a get if you die. If you stay alive, I'll if you get better from this illness, I'll come back and be your wife. Amr, Zvid, Petumi Labamehu. Zvid said, it's just words of comfort. She's not obligated. She's not obligated. And therefore, the get's a get. And even if the husband stays alive, she's mutter to go marry someone else. You're saying that it's just words to make him feel good, but it wasn't really serious, and therefore she let him marry someone else. Let's say she meant it seriously. Let's say she meant it 100%. What's her power to marry him? How could she obligate herself to marry him? What's her power? Someone who could do Kedushin, a person who has a bailus overselling his field, he could commit to sell back the field, or he could commit to replace the field if it's missing. She has no bailus in making a marriage. It's the husband's position to be Mekadesh Anisha, not her position to be Mekadesh herself to a man. Says Mar Bidita, Kamai Kaima, Lemishi Ta Begita. Is it up there? The Mar actually focuses even earlier than what I said. I'm focused on the new marriage, the Mar focused on the get itself. Could she stip a Tanai into the get? She's as if she's making a Tanai in the get. If you get better, then we're not divorced. She can't make the Tanai. He can make the Tanai, not her. But they Kaima Lemishi Ta. It's up to him to make the Tanai. So why do you have to come out to the Svara that's just mealy? And therefore, she's not obligated to marry him if he gets better. Say, even if she meant that seriously, it wasn't Petumim Mils Balma. She's still not obligated because she can't make the Tanai, only he can. Answers the Gemara. Mal the Tema Higufa Adaita Dida. Dida. Kagamer Vyav Gita Kamashbalan Hugufe. I would have said that once she made that statement to appease him, he had a mind in giving the get while he was groaning. And she said, "Don't worry, I'll be yours." He had a mind that tonight. He had a mind that tonight, and therefore Itaka would be a tonight in the get. Kamashbalan, that we don't say that. We say it's between Mila Alma, and therefore it's not a get. Now, so what's the Kamashbalan exactly? Let's jump first. We're going to go on purpose. Let's first go to Tesis. Kamashbalan, second Tesis of the page. Pirish, Dechinami Adaita Dida Maknila. Tesis says, she made that statement, and Itaka had in mind that it should be like a Tanai, like she's saying. Eine Chaser, Degamhila Amr El Petum Emili. That's good for the Chiddush. Since she said it's a Petum Emili, she said just make it feel good, even if he did it with intent to have a tenai of what she's saying, the halach is it wouldn't be considered proper tenai because he's only agreeing to her statement and her statement wasn't really like an official tenai. So says mashma the shchibira hamigarish ishestam im amad einachez beget. Gemara is mashma that a shchibira gets better from illness. The get isn't chaser. Tais asked that we just had not so long ago in Gittin. We had we had a mishachsu that we talked to say such a thing that unless if you say it may see make it tonight, then it's not a get. But if you make it tonight, it would be a good get. The problem is. That we have elsewhere, Vayta Mishachzu, that if a person gets better, we would say it's Chayzer. Okay, it's a different, I don't want to get too sidetracked. But again, let's focus on the first part of Tesis. Tesis is saying that even if the husband has a mind that it's based on what the wife said, what she said is just Mili Balma, and therefore it's nothing, and therefore it's not going to be a get, but tonight doesn't exist, and she's fully divorced. Jump back into Rashi. Rashi says even stronger, Petum Mili, Mai, Ve'af Im Amra, Be'emes ubekabel shvua gemura mai. Even if she swore she'll come back to him, it's not up to her, and therefore she makes no difference. The Gemara's answer is enachami. Taka makes no difference. Havin was that maybe makes a difference because maybe he's believing in it. We already saw from Taisus Kamashmulan. It doesn't matter. He's believing what she said, and what she said is garnished, and therefore it's not chal. Rashi sticks in even if she makes a shvua. There are other Rishonim that argue, other Rishonim argue on this and say it's ultimately and always an issue that it wasn't a clear tanai with a clear smichas das. If she was to make a shvua, then that would be enough, especially if he's making it based on what she's saying. That would be enough to make it a clear belief that he has a smichas das, and it would be a real tanai. He didn't stipulate it, but she did speak it out, and it was a shas he gave her to get, and therefore the tanai would work, certainly if she swears. That's what others argue. Rashi clearly says, even if she swears, it's not going to be a tanai in the get. Others argue and say, if she swears, it would be a tanai in the get. But again, this gets back to our earlier conversation. When do we say p'tim emile, that the words are just there to make someone feel good, and when do we say they mean it seriously, is really a discussion. It's going to easily segue in a moment into the idea of asmachta, whether asmachta is kind or not. It's going to segue into that conversation. Says the Gemara, Ilveo Sadeo. We said in the Mishnah, if one lends money on his field, one lends money on his against the field is a security, and he said, this is the end of our Mishnah, if I don't pay back, the Mishnah we quoted earlier this morning on Samachim Beis, if I don't pay back by 3 years, the field's yours. The halacha is, it's okay deal, and not only is it a deal okay, that's what Baisas Ben Zunin used to do based on the Chamim's advice. Amar Funa, Bishas Matamayis Kanako. If the agreement was, at the time the money was given, the time of the loan, then if the borrower doesn't pay back by 3 years, he defaults on the loan, then that's the agreement, and the lender could take the entire field. Even if it's worth much more than the loan, that was the agreement, and he could take the entire field. Whereas Lacha Matamayis, if it was only made up this tanai after the loan rate took place, like Kanal Kanagmayis, if the lender does not get to acquire the entire field, he only has rights within the field to take what the money that's owed, but not more than that. The Chiddush is L'chaira, in the case where it was said, B'shas the loan, we say he means it seriously. The borrower is agreeing to pay back much more than what the loan's worth. He's giving the whole field and the whole security for keeps, and the lender's allowed to keep it because we don't say that it's asmachta, and we don't say it's asmachta leikanya, we say it works. From Nachman Amar, he argues as a few lach matamayis kanako. He argues and says that even after matamayis, even if the agreement was made, the borrower says to the lender, don't worry about the money. If I don't pay it back by the end of 3 years, the field's yours. It wasn't said b'shas the loan. It was only added later. Still, we say that he means his tanai that he added later, and the lender can keep it if the loan's not paid back by the end of 3 years. Avner Nachman, Avner Nachman did a psak like his shita. Gabriel Shkulusa, we know. Uri can remind us, of course, history. Uri, who was Renachman? Renachman was an Edom by the Reish Gelusa, right? He was a son-in-law there. Very good. Renachman was an Edom. And he did a psak over there by Reish Gelusa to say that the lender is able to keep it in such a scenario. Amar Reish Gelusa, Reish Gelusa said to Renachman, Revita called the shtar. Revita went and tore up your shtar. Revita said the shtar is not a good shtar. Amalei, so there's two different versions of Renachman's response. Armalei, Dadakari. So Rav Nachman said to the Reish Glusa, was it a child that ripped it up? Gavarabakari. Yehuda is a great mensch who tore it up. Chazahu beitam bakari. Must be so a good reason to disagree with me, and he tore it up. So according to this, it was a very respectful response that, yeah, he tore it up, then trust him. He's very chashavian. It must be he had good reason. Igadarmi, some say the story was very different. Amarlei, Rav Nachman said to Reish Glusa, Dardakari. It must have been a child that ripped it up. Because everyone, when it comes to Dini, Mamanus, we know famous Allah Chakir Rav Nachman, Bedini, right? We know it's Bechleg's Rav Shmuel. We know Pasal like Rav by Isri, Pasal like Shmuel by Maman. Rav Nachman was really, he quotes for both Rav and Shmuel, but he was more, I believe, if I'm mistaken, more of a Talmud of even of Shmuel. But we know ultimately Pasal like Rav Nachman, just like Pasal like Shmuel by Mamanus, we Pasal like Rav Nachman by Mamanus. So Rav Nachman says, Kul Amud compared to me is a Dardiki. So Rav Yehuda also is a Talmud of Rav and Shmuel. Rav Yehuda is around in the same time as Rav Nachman. The Gabe Dina Mamanus, he's like a Dardiki to me, and don't be impressed by the fact that he ripped it up. It's wrong. Hadam Rav Nachman, there Rav Nachman retracted and said, "I feel the b'shas matamayis like kanavaykum." He went the opposite way. Even if the stipulation was made, b'shas the loan took place, that if I'm going to pay you back by 3 years, this security is yours totally. It doesn't mean it. Why? Why not? Because the chayra, he's saying that's asmachta lekanya. Hopefully, it's asmachta, and asmachta is not kaina. Okay, says the Gemara. We have in our Mishnah, it says very clearly that the borrower tells the lender, says to the borrower, if you don't pay back with 3 years, I want to keep this field, this security. It works. Rav Nachman's arguing in the Mishnah. B'shas ma'at demayis, our Mishnah says it works. Rav Nachman says it doesn't work, not in the Mishnah. Amalei, ani amas machta kanye, umin yoimi amas machta kanye. Rav Nachman said, I used to say at least, asmachta was kaina. However, minyami taught asmachta is not kaina. And minyami convinced me, essentially what he's saying is, he's blaming on minyami. He convinced me asmachta is not kaina, and therefore that's why I switched my opinion, say it doesn't work, even if it's just demayis. So it's minyami's fault that we don't stick with the Mishnah. But I'm going to like minyami, that asmachta is not kaina. Ask the okay, fine. So Rav Nachman just kicked the can down the road, so to speak. He pushed the question off himself onto Minyami. But the bottom line is still a question. If you hold the smach like Kanye, what's Pshat Mishnah? When the Minyami Kash Masisa, according to Minyami, what's Pshat Mishnah? Answers the Gemara a couple of options. Option number one, Ibai Seim Masisa Rabesi, our Mishnah Rabesi, Dama Smach the Kanye. We have Machlaikis Tanayim already. Rabesi Smach the Kanye, he's the author of Mishnah. And these Amaram, Minyami, Rav Nachman passing asmachta leikanya, and therefore they don't agree to the sheet of our Mishnah. Ibay seima, or you could tap a maze, damalei kani me'achshav, or you could say in the case of the Mishnah, it's hachamai eskidon where he said kani me'achshav, be kind it from now. Since he says be kind it, if I don't pay within 3 years, be kind it from now, so that wouldn't be considered an asmachta since the kinyan is right away with simply a tanai. That it's a kinyan gummer now with a tanai. If I don't pay back in 3 years, so a kinyan with a tanai, avad that works. That's better than asmachta, which really opens up. This really opens up the major question: why isn't every asmachta similar to a tanai? When do we differentiate between asmachta? When do we say something's an asmachta, and when do we say something is a tanai? So the Chayyim already just addressed the question. Rishayim already actually addressed it. Ramban already addressed it. Ramban says, I mean, why was the tanai mega ruvin, the famous parsha of tanai? Why was that not considered also like an asmachta, and therefore it shouldn't work that the whole agreement about the Kinyan and Eivar Yarden and Eretz Yisrael, the Kanker Eretz Yisrael, maybe shouldn't work. The famous, the source of all Tanayim, it's not made a Reuven, maybe it shouldn't work because maybe it's just an Asmachta. So Ramban explains that Asmachta is only said when it's something which is Taylor B'das Atzmeh. The guy thinks he has control. I say things on purpose. Whether he has control or not, sometimes it's a goof of the issue. Why is it just an Asmachta? But he thinks he has some sort of control. Then we say that it's Asmachta, and if you hold the Asmachta like Kanya, it won't work. If you hold the Asmachta like Kanya, it would work. But a Tanai is typically what's Taylor B'das Achirim, which really means that he knows it's not up to him. He's making the tie anyway. So over there we say it means it should work for real, regardless, and therefore the tie works. So for example, Moshe made a tie banger of Reuven. It was up to them to fill the tie. It was up to him. If they went and fought and led Klai Yisrael into battle through a Canaan, then they were zeicha to have a portion in Eivar Yarden. Since it was Tel Abdas Acherim, over there, that works like tonight. When it's Tel Abdas Atzmai, it doesn't work as a tonight. That's more of an Asmachta. The Ramban, they bring the Rambam, seems to disagree with that. The Rambam seems to hold that even when it's Tel Abdas Achirim, it could still be called Asmachta. So the other Rishayim, the Rashba, the Ritva, the Chinuch, they learned that the limbus test, whether something is considered Stam or regular Tanai, whether it's considered Asmachta, is if it's like a Knas. When something's a Knas, that if I don't do this, then I should be Knas, which really seems to be our case still. And our Gemara is coming out that Lamaise, it is a Tanai still, if the borrower did it, Beshas, the loan. But if something is a knas, then a knas typically we say is an asmachta. But if it's not really a knas, it's just kind of an agreement, a deal, a conditional deal. Any conditional deal is a tanai that works. When it's like a knas, it doesn't work. That's what the Rashba, Ritva, Chinuch learn. Rabbi Natam, the Rush, they explain when it's an exaggeration. So it could be relates more to maybe almost that elaborates on this idea of knas. When it's an exaggeration, when it's the penalty is exaggerated. You know, it doesn't make sense that if you roll the dice, I'm picking that on purpose, that's a classic case of smachta, you know, gambling or those types of card games. It doesn't make sense that picking a card should make a difference of whether or not you win or lose $500. It doesn't make sense. When it's exaggerated, that's also a form, that's how the Russian Rabbi Natan learned, a form, a different explanation why that's a smachta and not just a regular tanai. But something which is not exaggerated, not a knas, or tehillah b'das achirim, that would be tanai, not a smachta. Okay, if I think Gemara knows late, let's hurry up. Ravashi. Mar Yinuka and Mar Kashisha, the sons are of Chizda. So it's interesting. Yinuka means young one, Kashisha means older one. It sounds like both of them had the name Mar. It sounds like both of them, the name was Mar, which is a whole discussion that you have two brothers with the same name. We don't do that. It's like literally senior and junior, right? It's the two brothers with the same name, senior and junior. There's discussion in Achrayim whether or not we can bring a right from this Gemara that the Ene, I'm forgetting the name to say for now, the Ene. I'm forgetting now, but I remember they bring down in the back of the Pacific Mars. They one of the Chorin bring the Agamar Zarai that one could name two multiple children with the same name and just give a number one, number two, or senior, junior of the same Fakirat Chas V'Shalom. Back then they could do it because they really named Alpi Ruch Kodesh. We don't really have the Ruch Kodesh so much anymore, and therefore we can't do it. Okay, it's a discussion whether they arrived from Ruch Chizda or not. Right there, but says the Gemara. They said to Rav Mark Yinuka and Mark Shisha, both the sons of Chizda. They said to Ravashi, Hacham and Adam Shvid Rav Nachman. In our day, say the name of Nachman. Hay Asmachta Bezmani Kane Blazmani Lekane. Asmachta at its time is Kaina. If it's not at the time, then it's not Kaina. What sounds to me? What it seems like? It seems like is that if the borrower did not pay up at the proper time, then the lender's kaina. And if the bar paid up before the proper time, then the lender's not kaina, which really, what's the chiddush there? That means it's machta's kaina, and the agreement just wasn't fulfilled. Amalu, kol midi, bezmani kani, blezmani lai kani. What Ravashi said, what's Rachman adding? Any asmachta, if you fulfill the condition of the asmachta, then it's kaina. If you don't fulfill it, it's not kaina. What's the chiddush over here? So Ravashi explains, Dilma, hachi kamara. So maybe what you heard from Rachman was a little bit different. Ashke begav zimna vamali kani, if the borrower, he found the lender in the middle of the term, and he said to him, you could be kind of the field right now, then kani. Then the lender's taka kainit. Basa zimne, family kani. But if you only met him after the 3 years were up, let's say in our case, and said to him, you can be kainit, lay kani. Meaning if he comes early and says, I know I have a year and a half left, I'm not going to pay you back, just take the field, be kainit. So that means, then he means it seriously, and then it's taka kainit, even though initially it may have been, it's considered a smachta, since he's agreeing. He's resigning himself and agreeing that the lender should have it right now, when there's still plenty of time for him to pay back still, then we say that he means it seriously and the lender's kaina. But if he only came after the fact, he was just saying because he's embarrassed. He owes the money. He wasn't able to pay back. The tanai was, and asmachta bama wasn't serious, but according to Rav Nachman's retraction, it wasn't serious, but lemaisa, he didn't pay it back. So he's embarrassed. He says it's yours, but since it's only after the time, what else is he going to say? And therefore, he doesn't mean it seriously, and it's not a kenyan. V'lohi, the Gemara says, it's not even so. Afilu begav zimnei namile kani, behaid de kamer le kani, kasavar kimate zimnei leilesi letardin. So the Gemara suggests that no, even if he says in the middle of his man that you should be kainit, he doesn't mean it seriously. He just wants to, his thought process was that, I don't want it to be busy bothering me, especially when the time is going to come due. He's going to bother me then because he wants to get king of the field. So in order to avoid him bothering me, right now he has a mashkin. I don't want to bother me. Let him think it's his. But when I have the money, I'm going to pay him back still. And I want to take it back even after the term. And therefore, he still doesn't mean it seriously. Still is a status as machta. And even in that case, it will not be a kenyan for the lender. Again, according to these shitas, like Ranachma's retraction, like Rav Yemi, that asmachta is not kaina, it won't be a kinyan. Just a few more minutes. Amar Papa, hi asmachta zim dikam zim leikani. Rav Papa says asmachta sometimes it's kaina, sometimes it's not kaina. Ashkei dikashas yisichra. The example, the litmus test that Rav Papa gives is if on the due date he sees the borrower sitting around drinking beer, he's not running around scrummaging to try to get a loan to get a lender to tie him over to take out this money that he owes right now. He's sitting and drinking beer. Kani, to lend his taker kaina, because he shows that he's taker willing to give up forfeit the property. However, to come out, if he sees the guy scrambling for money, like Kani, he obviously didn't have intent to lose the property. He's trying to avoid losing the property, and therefore the asmachta is not kaina. The lender will not be kind of the field. Maybe he's drinking beer, not because he's relaxed and he's on vacation. He's just trying to get rid of his stress. He's losing a property. What's he supposed to do? He wants to have a lechayim to kind of take off the edge. Inami. Inishachwina asmachazuze. Or maybe he was drinking and didn't have concern because someone had promised him to come up with the money. So he's relying on that promise to come through. He thought he's under control. And that's why he's relaxed. I mean, the fact that it's circumstantial evidence, the fact that he's drinking may not be because he's relaxed. Maybe it's because he's anxious. Or maybe it's because he has another backup source, which ultimately didn't come through. But that's why he wasn't scrambling. But he never really resigned to give the property to the lender. Elam Ravina, ikapit bidmei. If the borrower is makbid about selling his items, meaning if his people are offering him to buy some of his stuff, which he needs to liquidate to get cash to pay back this lender, if he's makbid to sell things at full price, he's not giving any discounts, he's still makbid, then the lender is takakaina, because the borrower is showing that he's willing to not have the money in time to pay back the lender, which means he's willing to forfeit it. He has other assets to sell to get payback the lender. He's choosing not to, and therefore he's being particular in what he sells for, and therefore it means he's okay to give up the field to the lender. Maybe even that too. He knows that if people know he's desperate, that he's got to come up with cash today for the lender. This is Ma'is B'chayim. People see someone's desperate, they try to capitalize, and he doesn't want his stuff to go for cheap. That's why he's being particular to sell at full price. But he still wants to sell, and he wants to come up with money to keep his field, and he doesn't want to give it to the lender. Elam Rav Papa, ikapid ba'ara vadekoni. If he's makbid not to sell any land, he refuses to sell any land. We're not saying, I mean, Rashi points out, we're talking about even for value. Meaning, till now we're assuming he doesn't want to sell things for a discount. Now we're saying it's even value. He's being offered value to sell other items, and he's still refusing to sell at proper value. Then we say, avada, he's willing to forfeit the land that's by the lender. He gave up on paying back in time. Vamar Papa. Even though we're saying asmach is not a kinyan, so let's say this field that we had, that we said that he designated as a security for the loan, and the lender is not kinyan it by the time the loan comes due, and the money's not paid, we're saying asmach is not a kinyan, still, it's definitely an apoytiki that he can use to collect his payment from there. I mean, the reason why it wouldn't be kinyan is because the field is worth more than the loan. But avad is an apaytiki to collect from this field the amount that is owed to him. Did the borrower tell the lender you should be kind of the field as a collection? Meaning, if it's not working as because of an asmachta, then it shouldn't work as an apaytiki either. What made it apaytiki? If he would say, acquire the field in order to pay back the debt, would that be on the side that we're still calling that asmachta, and asmachta is not kaina? Why would that help either? The issue of Rav Huna's question was that he didn't say be kainet. So that Gemara says if that's the whole problem, didn't say be kainet. If he said be kainet, it wouldn't help because it's an asmachta. The issue is they didn't make it an apaytiki. Ella apaytiki. Amar Papa Mai. What's the case? Amalei lei yelecha proin el mazu. Taka. The case of our Papa is we use the lushan of apaytiki. Your proin should be from this. The money that's owed, not more than what's owed, the money that's owed should be from this field. That's Haklash Apaitiki, and that would be a proper Apaitiki. We'll leave it up to story time. We never quite finished the daf. Plus, leave a Hu Gavra for after Shabbos, Mitzvah Shem. Have a wonderful Shabbos.